fit into the study here? We're One of Messiah congregation, and I say that, of course, because we're recording this. This will be, again, put on our website for everyone to hear. We're One of Messiah congregation, Kahal Echad B'Mashiach, and we're Jews from the Bible. And a lot of things we say might startle you, might upset you, but it really isn't the scriptures. Everyone's so used to hearing things that are made up, everything that's toned down, and everything that's an antidote. Everyone's so used to hearing, you could slide, or you can get by, or you're going to hear over here the Word of God. And because when I'm saying something, you can go look it up yourself. That's what I like doing. And I know the way the world is. The world wants everything just smooth things. Don't tell me anything that upsets me. Well, you should think it over, because I'm just a messenger. The Bible is written. I didn't write that. It says the same thing. Like, today's the Sabbath. Today really is a commandment. Breaking the Sabbath today, you might as well go kill somebody. It's the same thing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. I know that sounds vicious, doesn't it? But if you think it over nice and slow, go to Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments. There's a list of ten. The judgment for every one of those is the same. No one's going to kill you today, but if you happen to expire, you will meet the Lord, right? Now, you could turn me off, you could block me out, you could shut the internet off, you could drive away. The Word of God is written, right? It says 6 days you could go work your brains out. Go ahead. God wants one day. This is the Sabbath. It's a commandment. People need to understand, it's not the day of worship. It's a commandment. That's the thing that people don't get. They think it's just we're hanging out here on the Sabbath. No, it's a commandment. And that really has to drum into people's minds, because the reason why I'm saying this, I talk to so many people during the week, and they can't get the difference between, well, I worship on Wednesday. I said, no, go ahead. I worship on Tuesday. Go ahead. I'm not talking about that. This is a commandment. This is equivalent to, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. It just doesn't seem as strong. You know why? Because if you break the Sabbath today, you're not going to hear the police come and get you, right? They couldn't care less. If you kill somebody today, they're going to come and get you. That's the only, our courts only kept a few commandments. But in God's mind, they haven't changed. People think they're getting away with stuff. They think, well, I'm going to break the Sabbath because of this, because of that reason, or because of that reason, or this reason. That's what they think. Especially the differences, like, the messianic world, the difference is we've all been notified. You can never tell God you never heard. That's the problem. That used to be a problem with me, too. As a matter of fact, I remember when I first heard the gospel, I was saying, wait a minute, what are you telling me for? I don't even want to hear it, so I wouldn't be accountable. But anyone who comes around us, they're going to be accountable, because we don't make apologies for the word. Because you know why? We have to keep it too. I'm not telling you something. I'm not going to go bowling later. I'm not going to, Anyway, God has his own calendar. And today we look at it as we're still in the 30th day of the 10th month, Tevet. I know it's January 20th, 2007. God has his own calendar. And of course, you're always supposed to say, where does it say that in the Word? And then if you just go to Esther chapter 2, verse 16, 10th month is the month Tevet, okay? Tonight at sundown is going to start the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, and it's the 11th month called Shavat. I know the Bible spells it, for some reason, how do they spell it? They spell it Sabbat. And it's really, really Shavat. There's actually an SH. I don't know why they left out the H, but I wasn't there when they translated the Bible. But see how they spell it? Sabbat, right there? It's really, once you learn Hebrew, that is an SH. Yeah, so it's Shavat. So anyway, that's how you prove it's the 11th month, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. So if somebody says to you, Well, where does it say it's the 11th month? And what's the name of it? You just go to Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, it's right there. I mean, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 7. Upon the 4th and 20th day, the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat. Shabbat, okay? So that's how you prove that. So my study today, so many things I wanted to name, and I couldn't think of all the names and things. But is the doctrine of your religion reconciled to the doctrine of the Messiah? I don't know if people ever even thought of that. Are you reconciled to the God of Israel? Or are you reconciled to what? Or are you even reconciled? Are you a recorder? This really, I never even thought of that. I was like amazed when this came into my mind. Are you a recorder? Or are you ashamed of the gospel? Some people are ashamed of making a stand. They only can make a stand on people that don't really have any clout. But try to make a stand on people with clout. People with, you know, they look more important. Or they look more, whatever. Some people get ashamed. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:2, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my Torah, my law. And this word right here, ki lecha tov. Lecha is interesting, you know, because that means doctrine in a different kind of way. Ki lecha tov. Natati lechem, torati el ta'avovu, ta'azovu. So, when you read this in the Hebrew, it says the same thing. But I looked up the word lekach, which I thought was interesting, because kach, usually kach, means take, or receive. And that's what it means. It's something received. So it's a doctrine that's been received by, the traditional way of believing. And it's, you can read this yourself, whether a part of a teacher or a hearer. It's just what it says, learning, it's a doctrine, it's fair speech. That's what that word right there. There's other word, we're going to look at another word for doctrine, but this right here, it's God gives you good doctrine. It's something that you're supposed to be receiving and hearing and doing. You know what I mean? Everybody understand that? It's pretty simple. 2 John we're going to read today. It's just one chapter that usually people speed read because it's just one little chapter. You know that little chapter? There's like 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. People usually just blow past this chapter because it's just, one little letter. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So John is writing to, obviously, some church and some brothers and sisters that he met or founded. And he's talking about the truth, and we all know who said he was the truth. Yeshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, this is the Messiah. In other words, for the truth's sake, the Messiah's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Everybody understand that? Sometimes you don't get to put those scriptures together, but Yeshua is the truth. Grace, chesed, be unto you, and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of my children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we should love one another. So John's not bringing some new news or some, he's not bearing, but he, if you notice, every time, if you're with us any length of time, you're always going to see everyone in the Gospels and letters are always referring back to the beginning. They're always referring back to the Torah. Leviticus 19:18 exactly says that. This is what John is quoting. Of course, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm the Lord. But the stranger, this verse right here, I used to read this constantly on the internet, because a lot of people could not get this. Leviticus 19:34. But the stranger is a non-Jewish person, non-Israelite, the Gerim, okay? The stranger that dwelleth with you, with the Israelites, shall be unto you as one born among you. In other words, basically, how could there be any difference if you're You're like one born among us. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For you Israelites were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So I used to read this all the time to show people that once you the stranger joins the people of God, you become as the homeborn. Look at this. You shall be unto you as one born among you. So if somebody's born among you, what do you think? You think you might be the same? Yeah. Yeah, you become an Israelite. You become a person of God. Matthew 22, of course, the Messiah also quotes this besides John. He says, what's the great commandment in the Torah? Jesus said unto him, Yeshua says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You know, that's in Deuteronomy. Everybody knows that. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So it's not done away. Because those two commandments, all the law and the prophets, hang on it. You know when you hang on something? Praise the Lord. So we go back to John, this one letter, verse 6. This is love. What's love? Roses? Chocolate? How about apple pie? Is that love?
No.
What's wrong with that? This is love, that we walk after his commandments. Really? Well, I don't want to walk after his fourth commandment today because there's a yard sale. Well, this is love, that we walk after his commandment. Well, I got to do something else. Well, wait a minute. This is love. But that's love, that we walk after his commandments. This is his commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. In other words, I'm not bringing you nothing new. It might sound new because you're so used to hearing everybody else's doctrines. Don't worry about it. God understands. You could slide. Or, you know, don't worry. You know, that's a bunch of baloney, because that's what this world has watered down everything to, where there's no more gospel. Just do anything. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is come in the flesh, and that's the flesh of Israel. If you meet anybody like that, whether they're your relatives or your friends, they're a deceiver and an antichrist. Wow, that's pretty strong, John. I don't know if I like that, do you? That's pretty powerful. Go back to that verse, please. That's a little too strong. What do you guys think? He's telling my relatives antichrist. I mean, he's only one of the disciples of the Lord. Do you think we should trust him? If you know anybody who does not confess that Yeshua is the Messiah and that he's come in the flesh of Israel, they're an antichrist. Wow. Look to yourselves. I look around to all my relatives and friends. I look to myself, and I look to myself, that I lose not those things which we have wrought, but we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of the Messiah, Christ, you don't have God. No matter how long your beard is, no matter how many books you wrote, no matter how holy you look, if you do not have the doctrine of the Messiah, that's pretty strong. You don't have God. Could you imagine telling somebody that? That means all my buddies and friends in Judaism, they don't have God. Could you imagine trying to go convince them of that? How about Islam? Could you imagine trying to convince them that they don't have God? Or think about that. That little sentence right there has tremendous meaning in this world. Those are fighting words. Those are fighting words, John. We don't know if we like that. And unfortunately, I have to tell you that. And that doesn't make me popular either, I guess. But you know why? But I'm going to do it anyway, because I'm going to meet the Lord one day. And when I meet the Lord, I want to make sure, yes, Lord, I told them that. I know they don't like me. I know they want to run away from me. But he's the one who said it. He's the one. John said it. John said, if you don't have, If you transgress and abide not in the doctrine of the Messiah, you don't have God. He that abided in the doctrine of the Messiah, Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. Well, that's pretty straightforward. Now, this is really tough medicine because everyone's nicer than God. Did you know most people are holier than God? Most people are kinder than God, really. If there come any unto you, what do you mean, even my relatives? And they bring not this doctrine, you're not even supposed to receive him into your house. And you're not supposed to say, praise the Lord, bid him Godspeed. You know, agree to disagree. Let's not make any waves. Let's not cause anyone to think. Just let them stay in their spiritual intoxication. No, that's not what it says. It says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Really? Wow. I don't know. You can do what you want. You can have anyone come to your house and bring another doctrine if you feel like. But then you're evil, according to this. You're a partaker of their evil deeds. Does that sound like a good idea? That don't sound like you'd want to do that, do you? I hope not. I mean, I didn't write that, right? Right? Everybody knows I didn't write that. I'm trying to take the blame off myself on a lot of stuff because having many things to write into you, I would not would write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you face to face that our joy may be full. They're probably like, whoa, hope he doesn't come soon. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. I mean, that must be a shock. Imagine getting a letter like that in the mail. Yeah, all your relatives that don't have the doctrine of the Messiah and they don't have God. Really? And you look right next to you is your relative that's telling you to go believe and pray into the stars and the moon and the Ouija board and maybe we should go to a psychic network. And yeah, that's the way I feel. Now, Musa is also another word for doctrine. Unfortunately, in Jeremiah, I found a little interesting verse. They are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. There's a whole chapter you could read, but just the whole thought of a doctrine of vanities. That's what most of the religions are. They're a doctrine of vanities. You know vanity? Havel? Havel Havelim. That's like in the Kohelet. It's a vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. HaKohelet. Havel Havelim. All is vanity. These guys made a doctrine of it. I mean, I know it's a lot easier to go hang out in a church where everyone's just like, you know, feels no pain and everyone's just like, you know, there's no judgment and there's no retribution for sin. You go, oh, just do what you want. Don't worry about it. But in the end, you're going to meet God. I mean, think about that. You're not going to meet the church, right? So Musar it's properly, now this is so important. Look at this word. This word, doctrine, you might think doctrine is just somebody's theology, but look what it is. It's properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning of instruction. This is what doctrine is. It has a lot more meaning, you know? Like restraint, yeah, restraint from sin. When you know the real doctrine of God, you want to get away from sin, you know? It's chastening, it's checking yourself, correction. Discipline, it's rebuke. I mean, you know, doctrine is a lot of things. It's not just, here's my doctrine. No, the word doctrine in Hebrew, musar, has a lot of meaning. Just like lekach, that has a lot of meaning too. That's why I like putting more, doctrine has a lot. Your doctrine should be able to reprove the world. Because you know why? It's not your doctrine, but it's the doctrine of the Father. It's the Messiah's doctrine. Your doctrine should correct, reprove, chastise, I could tell you, I keep thinking of this a lot. If you do not feel that you're separate, then you're not separate. If you do not feel that you're on a straight and narrow, then you're not. You can't kid yourself. I mean, think about it. Do you feel you have to, that's a question you ask yourself. Are you on the straight and narrow, or is this life just a picnic? No, straight and narrow means you're walking, you know, you want to make sure you want to get in because you don't want to turn to the right or the left. You know, everything's trying to pull you in life. Go this way, believe this, do that, come over here, do that, forget that, forget God. But you got to go, you know, it's a straight and narrow walk. And when you parse it down, in Hebrew, you parse things down to the root. You have yasar, which right there, it really means that. It literally means, you know, this chastising, instructing. It just means to punish, reform, reprove, you know, soar, to teach. I mean, it's a lot. And guess what? We're supposed to all be helping doing this, believe it or not. When you become a believer of the Messiah, you're supposed to be a light. You're supposed to be a reprover. The Bible says you're supposed to be a watchman, right? You can't just go run away. Because God's going to say, wait a minute. How about if I ran away from you instead of dying for you? I don't want to die for you. I'll just run away. No, we're supposed to make a stand. Okay? Now, there's good doctrine, bad doctrine. I only put a few examples. These guys, these Pharisees, the Lord warned his disciples, beware of the leaven of bread. Not of bread. I'm not talking about bread, physical bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, which he says later, which is hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So you have this doctrine that's, you know, here, I mean, that's, when you read what Yeshua says, that his words are so bold that blow me away. I mean, I sit there and I think, and I know he didn't say them like sweet when he's calling the Pharisees, you hypocrites, you vipers. I mean, I can't even imagine how he said it. I don't think he went, you're hypocrites and you're vipers. You know he didn't, come on, let's be realistic. He said, you snakes, you blind guides. You're of your father, the devil. Whoa. Jesus said that, Yeshua. Could you imagine telling somebody that? He's telling this to the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders. He's telling them, your doctrine that you're polluting everybody. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. So I always go, I didn't say that. He did. Because if I said that, everyone wants to hate me. Stones, you know, pies. Everybody runs away. Nobody wants to be with me, you know. But wait a minute. I didn't say it. Jesus said it, Yeshua. You said you believed in him, didn't you? He's the guy who said it. I didn't say what John said. Anyway, so this good doctrine, and then Acts, of course. Most of the people were astonished at the Lord's doctrine. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. We don't want to be stealing. You're supposed to be adorning the doctrine. In other words, you're supposed to be, let's show it off. Let's show off the doctrine of the Messiah. Because you're supposed to be proud, not, ooh, I don't want to talk about it right now because I might offend somebody, or, ooh, their statute in life scares me. I don't want to say anything. That's ridiculous when you think about it, because you're going to meet God. See, everything, I always have to think in my mind when a situation occurs, sure, I can act this way, but then I'm thinking, yeah, but then I'm going to, God, I was reading a verse this morning, and my head just went down. It just said, and I heard your voice. It was just a simple little couple of words that God was saying to somebody. Then I thought, I just went like this on my table, and I just stood like that for a while, because I thought, God hears everything you say, even when you're not verbalizing it. That is frightening. He knows every your thoughts. And I was like this, I just got down, and I was like, my wife was upstairs, and I was thinking, like, I didn't even want to move. I felt like not to move. You know, I don't know if you ever felt like that. Just don't move. I thought, because I felt like, you know, here I am, you know, this vial, just dust, just who knows what he thinks. And God is so righteous and holy. And, you know, sometimes I think to myself, come here and even talk about this. I think, well, am I the spokesman for God? No, I don't think so. I don't want to do this. Sometimes I think, oh, I don't want to do this. You can go do it. You can go warn everybody. But you better warn them, because you're accountable if you don't. If I came up here and said, oh, Jesus just loves you, that's okay if you break the Sabbath today, go ahead. I would be killing your soul, and then if I died, I'd end up in a bad place. But I have to come and tell the truth. I know you're not going to like it. The Bible says if you break the Sabbath, death. It says that. Now, not today, but if you meet the Lord, there's going to be a death. You may go, yeah, sure. My church says the opposite. I know Pastor so-and-so. He's been there for 50 years. He told me I don't have to do this. That's legalistic. Well, do you want to be illegal? What do you want to do? Try to tell the policeman when you're speeding, when he goes, he pulls you over. You've been speeding here. You're 75 miles an hour, I tracked you. It's on a 50-mile speed zone. Well, officer, that's legalistic. I don't. What are you doing? You know what he'll do to you? He'll tell you to get against the car and put your... Yeah, it turns in. He'll think you're really out of your mind, really. Imagine saying that to God about God's holy day. Now, this doctrine of Balaam, this is the Messiah. He has a few things against you. Because you have taught the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and eat things, sacrifice to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing God says he hates. Does God hate? Oh, I thought he just loves everything. I thought he was the Jingle Bells Easter Bunny, you know. Yeah, if you do what he says, he loves you. He's on your side. He's merciful. He's kind. But if you cross him, he drowns the world. He destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroys all those nations. I mean, you know, a lot of people in America think, you know, they think everyone thinks we're getting by here. We're still going to meet the God of Israel. You can't escape him. I mean, if there was a way to escape the God of Israel, I probably wouldn't be here today. If I knew, like, you know, he's going to give me a pass, yeah, why not? Man, I go down to Destin, Florida. It's beautiful there, the white sand. I just lay there, you know, it's nice weather. Play my guitar, maybe have a few, you know, whatevers. But you know what? There's a God. There's a God. That's the problem. It's a big problem, because that means you can't cross him, because he's watching you. You know, I don't know if you really believe that. I get a dose of that during the day, during the week. I get these doses, you know, just like, I get these doses of, like, he's really watching me? He's really listening to me, my thoughts? Really? Uh-oh, I better change that thought. Uh-oh. I mean, he's really watching me? Think about that. He's really watching you. So are you a recorder? I don't know if you even ever thought of that before. You know what a recorder is? You press the record and you tape something, and then you can play it again for someone else. Well, these guys were actually human recorders. You know, we have this guy, Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahiab. He was a recorder. And then we have Shebna the scribe, and Yoach, the son of Asaph. He was a recorder. These guys are recorders. They're writing down everything. You know why? So they could pass it on to someone else. This is the way to do it. Walk this way. This is the way you do everything, okay? Forget that oral stuff. Nobody in the Bible did things oral. You could never trust oral things, because from one person to the next, it changes. I'll give you an example. One time, a bunch of my friends and I were working in this person's yard, right? And it was really hot. And I forget what we were doing. I don't even remember what we were doing. All I remember is, the lady came out and she wanted to know if we wanted some Cokes, you know, to drink, a Coke. So she tells the one guy, And he tells the next guy, and about time it got to the end, the message was, hey, the lady up there has flipped out. She wants to know if we want a coat. That's why nothing oral doesn't work. That's why they recorded everything. These are recorders. And it says, Ve Shevna Ha Sofer. You know the word, I don't know if anyone knows the word for book. Sefer is a book. This guy is actually a scribe. He's a sofer. It's the same word except for it's the noun, you know, the person. So I thought, you have to be like a book, but you have to make sure your book's of God. And you have to be see this word right here? Hamazkir. You have to be a recorder. Just like see this word right here? Yoach, right here? Yoach. Vayoach. Why they wrote Joah, I don't have any idea, but it's Yoach, okay? Anyway, these guys were physical recorders. That's falling down on you? Okay. But anyway, I don't know if you ever thought about being a recorder. Has anyone ever thought about that? I got to be honest, I never thought about it till yesterday. I mean, I actually started considering these guys. They're recorders. They're making sure they get it straight. Because they don't want to make nothing up. They want to make sure they're recording exactly what's going on. Do you see how important it is to get it precise? Precise. It's really important. One couple words off, you change the whole thing. Anyway, so now in the 11th year, we have this is Josiah. He was a great person. His reign, he purged the land, the house. He sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Johaz the recorder. This is a different Joah. To repair the house of the Lord, his God. Isn't that beautiful? Imagine if you really knew you had a recorder, someone that's really going to write down everything, and you had a scribe. He's going to make sure a scribe makes sure that every little letter is written perfect. He's making sure everything that he got everything's like perfect. That's what the Masoretites were. They made sure everything was written like one little yud wrong, they threw the whole skin away. They were so making sure it's so perfect. So anyway, these guys are recorders. I just wanted to show you that there's physical. We're so used to like record, especially nowadays with technology. You know, we've got many ways to record things, right? I mean, a long time ago, we just used to have those little recorders. You know, you press it and you record. But these guys were living recorders. They had to make sure they got it straight, and then they made sure the scribe. This is the way it was. And the word, this word for recorder comes from a word, zachar. Zachar. Does everybody remember that? Remember how God says, zichru et yom shabbat. Remember the Sabbath. Remember. That's what a recorder, you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to making people remember the word. Because some people don't read. Some people just listen to people. You want to make sure did you remember to read that verse right there? Yeah, you never thought about it. You have to be a living recorder also. And you can trust the word because it's written. So it's not like you're going to be verbalizing something that's inaccurate because you're going to recite this book, right? So that's what it's all about. So do you bear record of the word of God or are you ashamed of it? In other words, being a recorder, you're going to have to bear record of the Word of God. Or do you bear record of, you know, just letting everyone slide? Are you forced into the world's terms? You ever hear the terms of these terms? Agree to disagree. Let's get along. Tolerance. Everyone, please. Please. Your voice, you're showing too much passion. Calm down. We don't want to see how much you really believe. We don't want to see your enthusiasm, God forbid. We want you to be Casper Milktoast like me. Political correctness really makes me nauseous. I'm so tired of hearing that term. Those guys on TV, they all sound intellectual, they're political correct. I feel like saying, you bore me, you're just a bunch of, you're all going to be judged. They're all going to be judged by God. You think God cares about being politically correct? Let's give away the land of Israel for peace. Come on. What do you love, war? Well, wait a minute. How about if we trust God and he'll make a move? Maybe he'll do something you don't know about. Oh, we can't do that. That's called faith. Yeah, there goes Israel. Anyway. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adult... you think it was adulterous back here? It's really that today. The Messiah says... If you're ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You know, in the book of Daniel it says, there's one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds. That's really going to happen in someone's lifetime. You might, maybe you read it so long you go, yeah, sure. No, but maybe it'll be in our lifetime. I don't know. I can't tell you that. Maybe it'll be in their lifetime. I don't know. It's going to happen to somebody. One day, time will be no more. I can tell you for a fact, we're like little Noahs here. We preach as long as our little lifetimes are. I don't know people hated Noah. That's a maniac guy, man. Telling people to build a boat in the desert? He's crazy. I'm going to tell you there's a fire coming. Please. There's a fire coming. This earth is going to burn to a crisp one day by the same word. You might go, well, this guy scares me. I'm leaving. Hey, I can't even tell you with the right enthusiasm, there's going to be a fire one day that's going to burn this world and the elements thereof. Just like Noah said, there's a flood coming, judgment. There's another judgment coming in someone's lifetime. I don't know how. I doubt I'm going to be living for 100 years, but I don't know. Who knows? You might see me when I'm 100. But whatever the Lord. I mean, there's going to be a fire one day that no fire engines are going to be able to put out. I mean, does everybody believe that, or is that just like, eh? But you got to get on the. In other words, get on the ark. Get ready. Whosoever is be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. I can't even imagine what that means. Could you imagine what that means? I can't even imagine that. Paul, Apostle Paul, he's a guy you should like try to emulate or try to be like. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. He says, and Paul always goes back to the Torah. He says, as it is written, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Messiah. You can't be ashamed. He says it again in Romans 10:11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It comes from the book of Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You might say, well, that's a different word. What are you talking about? That don't sound the same. Be ashamed or... Well, it's the same thing, really. You don't make haste. In other words, you're not going to be impatient. Well, where's the Lord coming, man? I thought he was coming. I quit. I thought the Lord was coming in my lifetime. I had enough of that stuff. You start getting impatient. You make haste. He that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. In other words, and then you start becoming ashamed of the gospel. Man, I used to tell people this, and where is he? Maybe I blew it. Oh, I better not tell anybody. And then you get in a hurry, you get ashamed, you get confounded. some people actually sometimes go to other gods or other religions, because I've been telling Jesus is coming for the last 20, 30 years. Where is he? I think I'll go join some other religion. Forget Jesus. I mean, you know, because they don't understand this stone. To some people, it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, this Messiah. To other people, it's the rock of ages. You know, it just depends who you are. That's a very beautiful study. Paul tells Timothy, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do you only tell people about the Lord to certain people? Because you don't want to, we don't want anyone to really know, do you? You got to tell everybody. They're all the same, really. Everybody you meet, they're really the same. They're all going to meet the Lord. There's nobody. I was listening on TV. They were talking this week about, and I can't remember how many ladies, the richest ladies in the world. They named a bunch of them, right? And I thought, what a joke. They're still going to meet the Lord. They're going to meet the Lord. They can meet the Lord tonight. They're little billions. Who cares? You think God cares about your billions? That was funny. When you put it in the scheme of things, everything down here is nothing. And, you know, do your job, you know, make sure you put the food on your table and roof over your head, and make sure you do, but make sure you're going full blast for God, because that's what you're going to get judged for. He's not going to ask you anything else. He's not going to say, wow, you really did those roses, you really planted really good, you really had a lot of corn grow out there in the farm. I mean, he couldn't care less about that. You just have to, the Bible says that, you're supposed to do that, because that's how you live. We're all unprofitable servants. It's just your duty. But make sure everything else is for God. Paul says, for the which cause I suffer these things. Yeah, I suffer them too. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. You know why? Because you better make sure you know in whom you believe. If you don't really believe, then you're really tricking yourself. You better know in whom you believe, and you better be persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, you commit your soul unto God. You better believe that he's keeping you. Peter, 1 Peter 4:16, he says, if any man suffer as a Messiah follower, a Mashiachi, a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. Peter has the same message. See, these guys never contradict each other. They're always in the same vein of thought. So being a recorder and bearing record is very important. There's even three that bear record in heaven. And I love the way it's worded. It's the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You know why? Because the Word is God. But he made it become flesh. It's not like there's a guy up, somebody else hanging out up there. There's one God that you can never see. He spoke a word, it became flesh, and then you could say, wow, we have a glimpse of what God is. Yeah. He that believeth on the Son of God had this witness in himself. He that believeth not God, you're making him a liar, because you believe not the record that God gave of his Son. You know what that record is that God gave of his Son? It's in the Tanakh. There's a record God gave of his Son. In other words, someone recorded it, the prophets. There's a record. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? There's a document. Where is this record of his Son? It's called the Tanakh, the Torah that everyone threw away. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And here's the sad part. The life's in the Son. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. No matter how nice you are. Just think, you can go feed the poor all day long. You can go to visit people in the hospitals and jails. If you don't have the Son, you're lost. He that had the Son had life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Whoa! Those are strong words. You mean, you're trying to tell me, oh, the whole religion, they don't have the Son. They don't have, the other, John says they don't have God. This guy says they don't have life. Well, what do you mean? I went there and they all look holy. I mean, the guy walked slow and he carried all his books. I mean, I don't know. He looked like he's pretty holy to me. Forget about judging by appearance. Make sure you judge righteously. These things have I written unto you, and these things I'm telling you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. You know why? That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Make sure. I'm telling you this. He wrote it to you, and I'm telling you. He that believeth on the Son had everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Wow. Whoa. Not only that, the wrath of God abides on him. Oh boy. This message is too much for me. I'm going to go have a donut. You know, this is strong message. John bear record. John is reading the Gospel of John and the three Johns, the letters. Read those a lot. They're full of power. He's even in Revelations. He goes, the revelation of Jesus. This is the revelation of Yeshua, the Messiah. It's the Zichron. It's like a vision, the revelation of Jesus, the Messiah, which God gave to him. God gave it to the Messiah to show unto his servants, which must shortly come to pass. And the Messiah, he went and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. See, John wasn't the, hi, I'm the big pastor, evangelist. He knows his servant John. You know why? Because the Messiah, God knew that he would bear record of the Word of God. Remember there's three that bear record in heaven? John is going to bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah and of all things that he saw. Isn't that amazing? Now, you might think, well, I can do that. Well, he's banished to Patmos on an island. You know, who knows what kind of punishment. He's still going to do it because he is persuaded. He is convinced. He knows in whom he believes. John says, in the beginning was the Word. There's that Word again. And the Word was with God. Did you know the Word was with God? And the Word was God. Did you know God was manifest in the flesh? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Even the atheists, they were made by him too. They'll find out about him one day. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Just like us. You're supposed to be lights. Sometimes people don't comprehend you because they're in darkness. And they love the darkness because lest their deeds should be reproved. Well, I don't want to talk to that guy. He talks a little bit too much about the Sabbath. That bothers me. Well, I'm only telling you because I love your soul. If I didn't care about you, I'd say, go fishing today. Catch me a big one. But I happen to care about you more than you think. So I have to say, please don't break the commandments of God. You're only tricking yourself. You're tricking yourself. You might think, well, I got away with it today. Oh, well, did you? Or do you think you forgot about you're going to give account? That's what you forgot. You're going to give account on every single day that you broke the commandment, especially when you knew about it. Oh man, that's a horrible thing. Think about that. And there's no getting away from it. You can't get away from the Lord. Just think about that. You're right there. You can't escape. Confess. Oh man. Just the thought of that is like frightening, don't you think? You can't say, you can't trick them or something. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. How about that? It almost sounds like he's talking about himself. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Are you all bearing witness of the light? In other words, are you going out there and shedding your light? That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. This is how you know that he's not an everyday guy. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Really? Could you imagine making something, then you're in it? That means he, who knows what God is? I mean, he made the world, and then he's able to go in it. But the world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jews. They received him not. So what do you mean you're the Word of God? I know your mother. I met your father over there. We were carpenters together. We built a cabinet. What do you mean he's the Messiah? What are you talking about? I'll see you another day. Anyway, he came unto his own. They didn't receive him. As many as received him, but to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Yeah, but you better be born of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Word, there's that Word. It's made flesh, which is beyond our imagination. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of him and cried. He didn't go, Jesus, Messiah is coming. No, you know what he means? He was out there like, get ready, repent. I mean, you know, I can't even say it probably the way he did it. I don't even know what crying, you know, he's out there. Everyone thought he was a maniac coming out of the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, you know, and repent. I mean, they probably thought, who's this guy? I mean, just think about it. You're about your business, you know, doing, and there's some guys coming out there, repent, because he knows the reality of the one who sent him and that he's fulfilling the scriptures. Like in Isaiah, he's like, wow, repent. God opens a little bit of his understanding. When God opens a little bit of your understanding, you really get enthusiastic. You don't care what anybody's thinking, because you happen to know, whoa, there really is a God. They don't really believe. Look at the way they act. They're lackadaisical. They're just like, you know, wait a minute, there's really a God. John bare witness and cried, and this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. If he was before me, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Now, this word right here, I think is not, this word right here, I think it means something different than what everyone thinks. The law was given by Moses. Yeah, but obviously it was given by God to Moses. And grace and truth came by Jesus, the Messiah. This, I think people read this word this wrong, because it sounds like, Lord Moses, you know, that's ridiculous. So that's not worded. I think the meaning of this sentence needs to be thought about a different way. That word but means a lot of different things. It's not just, well, but grace. And there was always grace. And the truth was always there. He says, I am the angel that was in the wilderness.
But Jesus was just the Word of God in his flesh. So yes. He goes back to God.
Yes.
No matter how they put that button there. Or not.
That word right there seems like something. It must mean something different back in those days when they wrote it. I'll have to look up the old English on that. No, now, I say this a lot. I know people don't like when I say this, but I didn't make this up. John said it a couple of times. No man had seen God at any time. What do you think? The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Yes. The Word of God came forth and became flesh. He declared who God is that you can't see. And I'm going to prove it to you because I'm going to heal the sick. I only do the things which the Father gave me. I'm going to raise the dead right now. Look at this. Lazarus, come forth. Could you imagine Lazarus coming forth, really? I don't know if I could really think. I mean, guy that's been dead for 4 days in the cave, he stinketh by now. That's what it says. I don't know if you ever seen anybody, someone dead for 4 days. I mean, could you imagine like somebody going, Lazarus, come forth. And this guy just busts out of this deal and everyone just, I'm sure people just probably fainted. I mean, I'm sure they, I mean, you can't even, I can't even imagine like what, I mean, I can't even imagine seeing somebody that was dead for 4 days. Can you imagine seeing that for real? That would blow you away. You'd be thinking about, what can I do for God? What can I do for God? Forget about everything. You'd be like, what can I do for God? What can I do for God? You'd be like, forget everybody else. Throwing everybody out of your way. Get away from, what can I do for God? I mean, if you've seen somebody raised from the dead, you'd be like, whoa. But the word of God was declared, and that's how we know God. And this is the record of John. See, John has a record too. You better have a record yourself. What's your record? When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who are you anyway, John? Who are you? I mean, I'm the big Pharisee here. John bare record and said, I saw the Spirit. I bear record of this. I saw the Spirit, the Ruach, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon the Messiah, the Lamb of God. I saw and bear record that this is the word of the Lord. It's the Son of God. I mean, when he said it, he really knows what he meant. I mean, you know, it's like, wow, this is the word of God. So, are you reconciled to the God of Israel? Maybe that's why you can't be a true recorder or a true witness or bear record of anything unless you know what you're reconciled to, right? There's the Greek word. How do you think you say it? Apoktalasso. Is that close? And that means basically to bring back to a former state of harmony. It means to reconcile. And it's to be done completely. So you have to think to yourself, well, what am I reconciled to? What church? Some church? Am I reconciled to what? No, you want to be reconciled back to the Torah. You want to go, well, let's find out what this is all about. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Just think, one time, you know, when you didn't even know the Lord, you're an enemy of God. He still died for you. I don't know about anybody else. I wouldn't die for you, especially if you're an enemy of mine. But much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by Messiah, the Messiah's life. Because he lives, in other words, because of this resurrection from the dead that no one ever talks about, we can all live. Without the resurrection, the whole thing's a waste of time. That's the seal of God's righteousness, that he rose from the dead. No one ever talks about that a lot. That's way more important than a lot of those studies people are doing. Maybe one day we'll do a big story about the raising of the dead. Without the resurrection of the dead, we're all lost. If there's no resurrection, then our life is vain. What is life? Just, I don't know, live your little lifespan and kick the bucket and then that's it. What do I do with my stuff? Who cares? All my stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are of God who had reconciled us, praise the Lord, by Yeshua the Messiah, and had given us the ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that? Did you know you have a ministry of reconciliation? In other words, you want to go get out there and convince people to get on board and reconcile them back to God. That's one of your ministries. Plain English, you better go witness to people. That's a ministry. You want to reconcile them back. Wait a minute, you're missing the Torah. I want to bring you back to the right path. You missed something. You can always tell when someone cares. If they don't care, they just go, oh, just go believe anything you want. They put the big smile on. I mean, anyway, we're just about finished. Now we are ambassadors for the Messiah. Are you an ambassador? Have you thought about that? Did you know you're an ambassador? Did you remember that in school? your little ambassadors over there? Da-da-da, here comes the ambassadors. You know, and it says, and had given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, and though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Messiah's stead, be ye reconciled to God, please. That's right. Ephesians, and that he might reconcile both the Gentiles and the Jews unto God in how many bodies? One body. By what? By the cross, by the death, having slain the enmity, this division, defiance against the Torah. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth and things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he reconciled. So that was his ministry. He's trying to reconcile everyone back. So that's what we're supposed to be, little recorders, and going out there and trying to get people back. Wait a minute, you got the whole Torah wrong. You got the law wrong. Let me explain this to you. Some will listen. Some will say, I'll see you next time, and some will get mad at you. But don't, you know, just keep going. Did you find the book of the law yet? That's the question. Are you telling people about its contents? Or you don't want to step on anyone's toes? I mean, really, did you realize, if you're really doing this, you're not going to be winning any popularity contests, right? Don't even get into any, right?
No.
I'm serious. Because you know why? You have to be a reprover of sin. Ew. Nobody wants you to do that. I mean, you got to reprove. The only reason you reprove people of sin is the Bible says you're not supposed to suffer sin upon your brother. The only reason you do that is because you love their soul. Not because you want to bang them. Not because you want to pounce them. You just want to say, don't do that. That's sin. I love your soul. Please, let's pray together. Let's do something together. If you don't love their soul, you just go, eh, don't worry about it. Let's go to the other church. If you don't like them, you go to the other church. Go to the other synagogue or go join that religion. You know, you could just sit there and meditate for about 6 years and, you know, try to feel it. You know, this is the book, Joshua. Remember Joshua? Yehoshua? If we could be a little bit like him. Look what he did. He read all the words of the Torah, the blessings and the curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. In other words, most of the time you just hear about the blessings. God's going to bless you. He's got a house for you. He's got a new car. God's got a plan for you. God's got something for you. God's got a hope. But nobody ever wants to hear the blessings and the curses. Oh, you mean there's a curse if I don't do what he says? Yeah. You'll get cursed. You may not get it right now, but you'll get cursed. Ooh, that's scary. Second Kings, we're almost finished. This is my last little talk because I want you to leave with this. Did you find the book of the Lord in the house of the Lord? Did you find the book of the Torah? Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, what did he do? Say, beat it? I'm the king? No, he rent his clothes. Oh, oh. He was like devastated, you know. He rent his clothes. And the king commanded the high priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Michaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah, the servant of the king, saying, Go inquire ye of the Lord for me, for the people and all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Now I know why. Because our fathers, the ones that we thought were so great, they hearkened not unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Don't trust you in, yeah, the ancients. You've got to be careful of the ancients and the fathers and all these. Yeah, they hearkened not. Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Akbor and Shaphan and Asahiah, they went unto Huldah. Remember her? She's the prophetess at that time. The wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva. These are all nice names because Shalom is like peace, Tikva is like hope. And the son of Harhasp, keeper of the wardrobe. I want to look that up later. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. I want to look that up too. And they communed with her. So here's Huldah. Now Huldah does not, I want to tell you something. This really struck me when I was reading this. You never, don't ever say these words unless it's really from God. She says, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Tell the man that sent you to me." This is like this is a saying of God. You don't use this lightly. "Thus saith the Lord." When you say that, you better make sure it's really from God. Otherwise, I don't know what will happen to you. "Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read. Because thou hast forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath," God's wrath, "shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched." Ooh, we don't like that kind of God, do you? Go up to, this is a very important chapter. This chapter is 2 Kings 18. And the reason I want you to read it is because this written word was lost for hundreds of years. This proves that there's no oral law, because they didn't even remember the written one. They just found, I don't even know what these guys were doing in the house of the Lord. They found the book in the house of the Lord. Who knows what they were doing in the house of the Lord? Maybe playing Parcheesi or something. I don't know what they were doing. But they finally found the book of the Lord. They said, it's like finding the book of the Lord and going, where? And they run up to the king and they said, look at this. Yeah. That's what it should be. It shouldn't be just like, oh, I read some Bible. Yeah. Well, anyway, so this is really good here. This should show you how righteous God is. "But he went to the king of Judah and sent unto you to inquire of the Lord. Thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me." This is when my head fell down this morning when I was reading. "I also have heard thee." When I read that, I just got like a, ugh. I was just sitting in my house and I was just like, oh, look at this. Shut up. That's all I could think of. Just be silent. God heard, he hears you. You know, just, and if you could think about that during the week, oh, watch out for random thoughts. Watch out for random anything. God's hearing everything. Oh, imagine, you know, sometimes during the week you forget about that you're under the spotlight of God, you know, like, yeah.
I can't find it there.
Chapter 18?
Not in 2 Kings.
Okay, go back up.
Uh-oh.
Let me finish this and then we'll find it for you.
Okay.
I might have wrote down, maybe I didn't write.
It's
chapter 18, isn't it?
Okay,
let's finish this real quick. Anyway, I just wanted to show you that, "Behold, therefore, I will gather thee." This is how righteous God is. "Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace." Just think, because he humbled himself. He said, oh, he was so heartbroken. I'm all lost here because I was listening to my fathers. They tricked me. I fell for them. I didn't check it out myself. Oh, you better check it out yourself, because then you'll get mercy. He says, therefore I gather unto thee, unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eye shall not see. God's still going to bring the evil, which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Whew. So I'm going to end right here. I say, please make a stand. Be a living recorder. Make sure you're not ashamed of the word of God.
Second Kings 22.
Okay, is it starting on verse 8? Oh, starting on verse... No, we have to change that. 2 Kings 22. I think it's also in Chronicles, but I hope you got something out of this.
Yeah, very good.
Praise the Lord. We'll end here. Thank you very much.
Well,
you can shut the recording.
Any questions
or comments? Is there any? Please, before you ever leave here, if there's anything you do not understand, or if you disagree with something, please ask me. I don't bite. I would like to know if you don't understand something, or there's something that doesn't sound right, or if you don't tell me, I can't know. Right? I still can't read minds.